to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, here we go. Another big show coming your way over the next 2 hours at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, as we are coming to you from inside the Quicken Loans studios right here in Houston, Texas. Tonight, we're going to lead off our first conversation with some NBA talk, specifically the Oklahoma City Thunder, a team that they are surging. They're playing at a very high level, even without the reigning MVP and Kevin Durant. And speaking of MVPs, how about Russell Westbrook, his triple-double of 20 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists to lift the Thunder past the Pacers on Tuesday night. The countdown is on. It is power to the playoffs. So we're going to talk some OKC Thunder with one of my absolutely favorite guys on the planet. And that, of course, is Bob Berry Jr. in OKC with News Channel 4. How are you, Bobby dear?
Hi, E. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. This is one of my favorite times of the year. Lots of hoops to talk about. And before we highlight just the superb play and production from the Thunder, give us a recap of the Thunder's trade deadline activity, because there's no question they definitely improved their positioning, I would say, for the playoffs. And they've made some intriguing moves. I like the feel to this team.
Well, you know about the history of the Thunder, Alyssa, and how normally cautious they are, and maybe some would say too much so at times, or conservative, whatever the case. And yet, look at they lost their minds on trade deadline day this year. I mean, they basically turned over one-third of their roster. But the big move was addition by subtraction. When they got rid of Reggie Jackson and made the deal to trade the disgruntled backup point guard to Detroit, that helped this team immensely. And I'm on record as saying I'm a Reggie Jackson fan. I think he's a really nice player. But and I can't fault anybody in any sport that wants to start and get paid. And that's what Reggie wanted to do, but it wasn't going to happen in Oklahoma City. The problem with him was he started wearing those feelings on his sleeve and started trickling over on court in practice, in the locker room, and it was definitely becoming a problem. Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, you know, started talking more and more about how there's one guy here that doesn't want to be here, everybody else does, and you could see it on the court, you could sense it. And when the Thunder made a move to get Deion Waiters from Cleveland, Reggie Jackson's minutes dropped even farther, and so that upset him more. They had to make a move for Jackson. They did so. And then that's the night they went out and took care of the Dallas Mavericks and were joking around and high-fiving and having fun and dancing and laughing. I mean, you could just tell, as Charles Barkley said on TV, Alyssa, that night, he said, the doom and gloom has left the room. And he was talking about Reggie Jackson being moved and how it just uplifted the team immediately. So that was a huge thing. And then, of course, to get Enes Kanter, the 6'11 center from Utah, the best low-post scoring center the Thunder's ever had. And he's gone for, you know, 15, 18, and 20 in his first three games with the Thunder, with really good hands and really good moves and able to finish around the basket. That's something this team's never had. And then Russell Westbrook is simply playing the best basketball he's ever played in his life. I absolutely think he's in the MVP conversation, if not the leading candidate. And then you get this new bench that they have acquired with DJ Augustine coming in to make Kevin Durant happy, former teammates at Texas, even though they've yet to play together with the Thunder since KD's been out with that procedure on his foot to replace the screw on the Jones fracture on the outside of his right foot. But you know Kevin's happy to have DJ Augustine in town. Kyle Singler comes in from Detroit, you know, a former Dookie who fit in day one, minute one. He started the first game he got here. They didn't even have a practice yet. And Singler and Kanter had to start in a game at Charlotte, and the Thunder won that game handily. So the other acquisition, which is interesting, I think, with all the injury problems Oklahoma City's had this year, Alyssa, Steve Novak was another guy they picked up.
Yes.
A 6'10 guy who is he's a sharp shooter. He's known for his shooting. He's known for his veteran leadership. He's been with 8 teams in 9 years. He's not here a day, and he suffers an emergency appendectomy. You know, has appendicitis, has to have his appendix out, so he's gone for 2 weeks. And it's been that kind of a year for the Thunder in the injury department.
Well, obviously, some great long-term moves that have replenished this roster. They've increased their talent. That's what I hear you saying. But the big question looming is, I mean, how far can the Thunder, how far can OKC go this year?
Well, now, everybody, I mean, I have to refer to the, or defer to the people who watch the game more than I do. And when you watch the TNT folks and the ESPN folks and all the national folks and the national radio superstars like Elissa Walker-Campbell say this team is lethal, then you have to believe them. And that's the word I heard used by David Aldridge. This team's lethal. Charles Barkley, they improved themselves more than any team in the NBA on trade deadline night. So, you know, I have to believe it. And then now seeing this team play and knowing how their bench was before the moves and to what it's become now, they have some true offensive weapons, and it was never on display more so than against Indiana the other night. The Pacers came to Oklahoma City having won six of their last seven, and the Thunder gets after a huge lead because Westbrook gets a triple-double, you know, in record time, and they're up 20 at one point, but then Indiana cuts it all the way down to a point, and you're thinking, uh-oh, and Westbrook was on the bench, but then the second unit hits five consecutive three-pointers,
wow,
and next thing you know, the lead is up to 23, and Westbrook doesn't even have to come in the game. He sits out the entire fourth quarter, so that right there told us, wow, the depth is there. And after the game, a guy who normally is pretty reserved in his comments, Nick Collison, said, this is the most talent we've had since we've been here, the most depth we've had since we've been here, and he's really excited about what the future holds. So when you have guys like that speaking this highly about this group of guys, and again, minus not only Kevin Durant, but Steven Adams has been out for 2 weeks, who was their starting center all year, and he's got a hand injury. So him and Kevin Durant are both supposed to come back about the same time. Look out. I don't think you can put a ceiling on how far this team can go.
Hey, you're listening to the voice of Bob Berry Jr. with News Channel 4 in Oklahoma City as we're talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And we're talking about this rebuilt bench that they've got, all these massive moves. Are you surprised, though, how quickly this team is fusing and coming together with so many new additions?
I am, but again, my best days were in the eighth grade. So when I hear these NBA guys say, you know, DJ Augustine kind of took offense to the question. I mean, he wasn't rude about it, but somebody asked him that in the media today. Wow, you guys are playing so seamlessly with this new team. He said, hey, we're pretty good basketball players. We know where to go on the court. We know how to space. We know what kind of moves to make. We know where people are supposed to be on pick and pops and pick and rolls and things like that. So he was kind of like, there's a reason we're in the NBA, hello. And so that I understand where he's coming from there, and yet you've been around Sam Presti, the general manager of the
sure.
Thunder, before.
Mm-hmm.
They are 1,000,000,000% committed to their plan, their type of player, their work ethic, their long-range goals. And these guys, all that they brought in, you know, it takes you 30 seconds to figure out, yep, this is what Presti always brings in here. So I'm really not surprised. I shouldn't be, I guess, because these guys fit the Presti mold of what he wants to do. And say what you will about how the Thunder goes about business, but they've always stayed firm on their tasks and what they want to do, and these guys fit that to a T.
I'm glad you bring up Sam Presti. I mean, what, if anything, did you notice, Bobby, about some of the moves the Thunder made that perhaps would be different from the years past? I mean, did their approach, did it just remain the same, the type of players that they're going after?
Well, in activity in general, you know, how many people on trade deadline day, Elissa, the story coming from all corners of the NBA was, okay, the Thunder's going to trade Reggie Jackson to Brooklyn for Brook Lopez, you know, and
right.
Perry Jones III might go in the deal as well. I mean, that was being widely reported by everybody. And then all of a sudden, you know, hours later when it happens, it's completely the opposite of that. Detroit's involved. It's a three-team deal, and Utah gets in the game. So, I mean, that it was just totally out of character in terms of what we've seen from Presti, but yet it continues to prove how he works the phones. I mean, all the Thunder people told us, believe me, this guy's incredibly active. He never sits still. He's always entertaining calls. He's always making calls and checking things out to try and improve the franchise, the organization. So I think he really illustrated that on deadline day by bringing in four new guys and basically giving up nothing. They weren't going to re-sign Reggie Jackson next year to a long-term deal again because they weren't going to insert him into the starting lineup. So you give up a guy who wasn't going to be a starter, and then Kendrick Perkins, for as much as everyone loves him, and trust me, Durant and Westbrook loved him, and they were really pained by Perk's departure, and yet Kendrick Perkins in the final year of a deal making $9 million a year, his skills are declining a little bit, so you had to throw him in to make the math work, and look who recruits him immediately. LeBron James says, we got to get this guy. He's available after Utah and works out a buyout with Perk, and he ends up playing for the Cavaliers now. So, I mean, how about just think about Kendrick Perkins' pedigree and his legacy. He's played with Pierce. He's played with Garnett. He's played with Durant, Westbrook, and now LeBron and Kevin Love. I mean, that shows you the value of Kendrick Perkins. I'm happy for Perk. We loved him in Oklahoma City, and I hope he has a lot of fun and successful times in Cleveland.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, why he wasn't a fit or why he wasn't in the Thunder's future plans, because when you evaluate his game, I mean, he's an excellent screen setter. I mean, he plays post-D, a liability perhaps offensively, and he was a huge pickup for the Cavs, and you got to love that edge, that nasty that he brings, and perhaps that might just even rub off on Kevin Love.
Well, there's no, and it was the locker room stuff. I mean, Durant and Westbrook said he was the policeman. He was the cop in the clubhouse, if you will, that kind of kept order. And so, but no, Sam Presti, I thought literally was almost moved to tears when he was announcing the acquisitions, when he started talking about Perkins. It was interesting, too, because he went on and on about Perk, and he's everything that embodies the Thunder. He'll be Thunder for life. And then he said, and oh, yeah, we traded Reggie Jackson to Detroit, too. I mean, it was like, you know, one sentence for Reggie Jackson in about 10 minutes on Kendrick Perkins and how much they loved him. So, but yet, you know, as you know, you have to do it in big-time pro sports. You got to make those tough decisions sometimes and say, as much as we'd like to keep this guy, we got to move him to make it work, and then we bring in this low-post scoring that Perkins did not provide. Steven Adams provides a little of. Serge Ibaka would prefer to be a mid-range guy, so you bring in Cantor, and all of a sudden he's averaging a double-double. So they really improved themselves there.
The NBA conversation continues as we zero in on the Oklahoma City Thunder with Bob Berry Jr. from News Channel 4, but we've got to step aside for a quick commercial break. We will be right back. Hey, we are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we continue to take you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Absolutely love hearing from you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports, as we continue to go one-on-one with Bob Berry Jr. from News Channel 4 in Oklahoma City, as we're talking about the Thunder. And just out of curiosity, I mean, what do you think about Reggie Jackson and the quick acclimation that he is making with the Detroit Pistons?
Well, he's a great player. I mean, he really is. His issue is he's a young, good player, meaning he still has to reach that level of consistency. And he, you know, he saved the Memphis series a year ago for the Thunder when Westbrook was out, and he scored 32 points in a starting role one game and basically won that game single-handedly on the road at the FedEx Forum, the Grindhouse. So he can do it, and, you know, we'll see. Now, you know, I would say, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn when I speak about Reggie, but he kind of considers himself to be a James Harden-like. I need to go to another team. I can start, I can become an all-star, I can become a 20, 25-point-a-night guy. And maybe that will happen. I happen to think James Harden's a little bit better, if not a lot better, because he's an MVP candidate this year. But that's how Reggie thinks of himself. And again, I'm not going to disparage anybody who thinks a lot of their abilities and wants to go prove it. So I had no problem when he said he wanted to be a starter for the Thunder or the NBA or somebody and wanted to be moved. Now he's got his chance. We'll see how he gets along with Stan Van Gundy and those guys in Detroit. He's off to a good start. He had almost a triple-double the other night, I noticed, in a game. I think it was against Perk in Cleveland when he had 22 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. So Reggie's explosive. He's getting his opportunity now. Good luck to him. But the Thunder has definitely improved by his deletion from their roster.
Okay, just out of curiosity, too, with these improvements, these additions, I mean, do you see these players, do you envision them being a part of the system for several years? Because the Thunder, the team, the organization, I mean, they do value continuity. They want it.
They do, and they've got youth again. Cantor's young, Singler's young, Augustine's still young. I mean, he's been in the league several years, but he's kind of bounced around, so he's still a fairly young player. Look at this, Elissa. A year ago at this time, the Thunder, and I'm just trying to do this from memory, but the Thunder had 39-year-old Derek Fisher, 34-year-old Caron Butler, 33-year-old Nick Collison, 30-year-old Thabo Sefolosha, 30-year-old Kendrick Perkins. So all these 30-somethings. A year later, you got one. You got Collison. That's it. And then they go pick up Steve Novak, who's 31 and really probably not going to play a lot, but I bet he provides some leadership in the locker room. So they've become young again, and that was the special thing about this team when you were around them too a few years ago, was everybody's talking about how successful they were and yet how young they were, and look out,
right.
This is going to be something that's going to happen for a while. Well, now look what's happened. They've basically turned back the clock again a second time and yet gotten a lot better and younger at the same time. That's where the power of Presti comes in, I think.
Okay, so talk to us. Give us an update on Kevin Durant, what he's missed over, 30 games so far this season. He's always been, when you look at his career, he's been a very durable player. And we've been discussing this on tonight's show. We're going to be talking about this, just the injury crisis in the NBA and perhaps what should be done. Just give us an update on KD.
Well, you know, I've got to think the franchise is doing it the right way by talking about this latest issue. Kevin was limping around pretty good at the end of games. I mean, noticeably, he wasn't hiding it, was immediately going to the bench and taking off his shoe and rubbing on the outside of that right foot. So as it was explained to us, he literally had a screw put in the outside of his right foot to repair this Jones fracture that he suffered in the preseason, and the screw had a head on it. It basically was too big and causing discomfort on the interior of the foot. So they went in, took that screw out, put another less invasive screw in without a head on it, and they're waiting for the incision to heal, and they say Kevin will be fine. But I think the advantage by the moves the team has made, Alyssa, and this is just my opinion, they've helped themselves now to where there's not so much pressure as there was before to get Kevin back into the lineup. Of course you want him. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But there for a while we were going, Kevin Durant needs to be out there if he has one arm and one leg, or they're not going to make the playoffs. Well, now you're getting this production off this whole new slew of guys they brought in, and Russell Westbrook's playing out of his mind. And so you don't have to bring Kevin back too soon if he's not ready to go, if he limps around. So I think it's a real benefit for the Thunder where maybe they can wait an extra 2, 3, 4 games, or bring him in and put him on a minutes restriction, you know, and get him out of there since they have so much depth. So I think it's kind of an advantage for the Thunder and lessen the pressure a little bit on KD.
What was your reaction to some of the national media saying that Kevin Durant, that perhaps he should pack it in for the remainder of the season, rest his foot, because he's got, what, at least another 10 years of a high-level playing?
Well, I mean, you know, the people that were saying that, A, they're looking for shot value, and B, they don't know Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's been pounding on these medical people. I want to play. I'm ready to go now, even when he's been limping. You know how he is, yeah. And you know more so than anybody. You were closer to him than a lot of us. So he wants to play. He's a gym rat, and Russell Westbrook's a gym rat. They're going to be there, you know, waiting when the doors are padlocked. Hey, unlock this thing. Let us in, even if it's snowing outside. So they have to kind of tell him to tap the brakes and, no, just sit for a while. And Kevin's been forced to accept that this year, like you said, for more than 30 games now, and it's been difficult on him. So actually, probably the concern I might have more than physical for Kevin is his mental approach, because again, he has not played with any of these newcomers yet.
Okay, we're up against the clock. Bob Berry Jr. with News Channel 4, the Oklahoma City Thunder, giving us an update. We sincerely appreciate your time. You stay warm on this Friday night. Thank you so much, Bobby.
Thanks, Lee. Great talking to you.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close. Good evening. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Time now for some NBA conversation. Earlier, I had an opportunity to spend some time in an exclusive interview with the Dallas Mavericks' Monte Ellis, and we had a chance to talk about his newest teammate in Amari Stoudemire.
Good evening. It's wonderful to have you with us at Yahoo Sports Radio.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Well, a number of storylines that we want to get into, but at the forefront nationally, of course, is the addition of Amari Stoudemire, and obviously he's going to fortify your front line. He is a high efficiency reserve. What does his addition, what are you looking forward to the most with him coming on board?
We come off the bench and give that that toughness, the scoring and the defense, and you know that veteran leadership with most of the young guys that he'll be in, and you know, to just come in and bring, you know, what he's been doing for so long in this league, and that's rebounding, scoring, and blocking shots.
Well, Monte, you know this well. Chemistry is so key. And the good news is that Tyson Chandler and Amari were already teammates in New York, and so they already have that special bond. But when a new player comes on board, like Rondo in the month of December, what do you do to help a player get comfortable and to acclimate within Coach Carlisle's system?
You know, a veteran guy coming in and been in so many different situations and been with so many coaches. When you come into a situation like with Rick Carlisle, I think that it's easy for you to adapt to the type of game and system that he's bring. And playing against him for so long, you pretty much know their system of, you know, how – you know, playing against him or whatever, but you know, when you're a veteran guy, it's not that hard to teach you, you know, to come in and show you what to expect. It's all about, you know, you growing up as a player, been in this league for so long, and you bringing your talent and what you can do to this system and what you can do to this team.
Okay, the Dallas Mavericks currently are 36-19. You guys are fifth in the Western Conference right now. And obviously with these massive trade that went down in the month of December, the acquisition now of Amari, what is your view, your belief of the Dallas Mavericks and what they might be able to accomplish? Because it's much more than just taking a team like the Spurs to seven games. Are you guys a title contender?
We got to grow. Like we had Rondo and Amari and Bronsarge back, and so we still have to come together as a team. We got to take it game by game. Can't put a stamp on it. The thing we have to do is just get better, better, grow as a team, and try to finish this second half strong going into the playoff and see what happens.
Let's narrow our focus and talk about you. You're obviously coming off the hip injury against the Clippers February 9th. I know Maverick fans, NBA fans, we want to know, how are you doing? Are you 100%? And have you been able to regain that flexibility?
I'm good. If I can walk, I can play. Throughout the season, there's always going to be nicks and bruises. Been in the league for 10 years, so I know how to, maintain that control. What I can control, and that is scratch it a lot, ice, and little things like that. But other than that, my body feel good. The hip is doing 95% better. But as the season go on, it get better due time. And we got a great medical staff that know how to handle the situation. And so I just put it in their hands and go out and do what I need to do and let them do their job. We're a great team together and move on.
Well, you're right. Your head athletic trainer, Casey Smith, just does an outstanding job and his staff. But what is the key to your durability? Games that you've played, your bounce back ability, the fact that you had that injury on Monday night, on February 9th, and you were able to play against the Jazz on that Wednesday.
Me, I just hate watching basketball from the sidelines. Like I said, if I'm able to walk, I can go out and play, no matter, how banged up or how serious the injury is. When it's time to play, I just block that out. Don't think about it. And when the game is over with, it's when I attack it, what I need to do. And, the off days or practice days and maintain it like that. But when it's time to play, it's time to play.
I understand a few years ago you tore a ligament in your hand and you were dipping it in paraffin wax before the game. Monte, do you still do that? I'm familiar with that because I like to get a pedicure.
Yeah, I did it. I did my first one when I was at Golden State with my ring finger. And I used to do it before every game. And then I came here and end up doing my middle finger, and so it balances it out, make it feel good, and take my mind off of it.
We're talking about getting rested and recharging. I want to get your comments. Commissioner Adam Silver had talked about during the All-Star break just the point of emphasis on perhaps eliminating so many back-to-backs, four games in five nights. Give us a player's perspective on the fatigue factor, and how concerned are you about that?
I don't worry about it. I just play the game. I let them handle that. But I think for certain guys, back-to-backs will, hurt guys, or it can help them. But me personally, I don't care. Like I said, I just work here. I just want to play basketball.
Well, I know you're trying to get on the road. We've got to wrap up our interview. My final question for you is, there's so much more I would love to get into, but what is it like playing for an elite owner like Mark Cuban? I think back to when you hit that game-winning shot against your former team, the Bucks. There's Mark running out onto the floor, celebrating with you. You're such an inspirational player, and your owner, he loves it.
It's great. This organization is one of the best organization in basketball, one of the top in sports, period. And, we have one of the most energetic, competitive owner in the world. And if your owner that sits in the seats and sits by the bench and make all the moves that he need to make to get the team better, and he have that enthusiasm and that intensity and that aggression you know, just sitting on the bench. As always, as a player, you would think that, you know, most guys would want to go out and do the same on the court and do it for him. And, you know, he put a great group of staff within this whole organization that's kind, warm, and very helpful of what we do on and off the court. And so this whole organization is just a top-notch, grade A, wonderful place to be in.
Sounds like it's your final destination here at Dallas, right?
I hope so.
Well, congratulations on an amazing season. Mm-hmm. You are truly playing your best basketball of your career. And as an NBA enthusiast, it's just so much fun to watch. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You stick around. Always the biggest and the very best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Good evening and welcome back to the fastest 2 hours in radio at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. So let's now focus our attention on some college basketball as the countdown is officially on for Selection Sunday. Always a pleasure to have back with us the contributor from Slam Magazine and the owner and operator of the five-star basketball camp. Very prestigious. That is the great Lee Klein. Lee, how are you?
Doing great, Alyssa. And we've had another, you know, we are in a desperation time here with college basketball as the season, the regular season is coming to a close. And you're going to blink, and it's going to be championship week, and then March Madness and all its glory.
That is so true. Hey, it is a sprint to the finish line. Of course, I need to mention that Lee Klein, he is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. And before we start kind of breaking down some of the conferences and the races that are going on, one of the discussion points that I want us to open up with is this court storming in college hoops. I mean, I'm personally against it. It was a little bit disturbing to watch that game with KU and KSU. What is your take?
I think court storming, like it or not, is here for good. It's just it's taken over. It's part of going to a game. If you're a college student, it almost you feel entitled and a right to do it. And in one way, you know, it's interesting because they want students to come out to games and make it a fun environment. Especially, you know, attendance has been a battle. Attendance has gone down recently in college basketball. But the key is how do you do it safely? And in order to do that, I think the simplest solution is if you do not allow the visiting team to vacate the court, you assess a technical foul on the home team. Now, all of a sudden, the home arena security is going to get their game in play because they know that they can end up costing the team a victory. So, to me, assess a technical foul if the visiting team is not allowed to vacate. And you might see that where, you know, that could affect the outcome on a couple of games with, if you will, with, you know, with these darling upsets like we recently saw.
Lee, are you surprised that among the major conferences, what only the SEC has a ban in place from fixing the court storming?
I'm surprised there was no security. I'm surprised no one saw a security guard when Kansas State won that game and the kids came in. There wasn't a security guard to be found. I am surprised about that. As far as, you know, assessing a fine in that part, I mean, that's semantics, you know, this big business with college basketball, especially with the power conferences. You can assess a fine. That's not necessarily going to stop. The only thing that's going to stop it is when the university prioritizes that we need to make sure that opposing team gets off the court or else we can lose a game and it could affect us in the standings.
You know, I talk about the SEC in terms of with basketball that it doesn't allow it, but incidentally, it also bans storming the field in football as well. So they seem to be ahead of everybody else and I don't know, just watching that Kansas State and the KU game, I mean, I'm claustrophobic, so I was very nervous watching that, and you just really think that at some point, some player, some coach, they really could suffer an injury.
No question. I mean, Alyssa, you and I are both products of this old Southwest Conference, and, or, you know, you literally felt like you had to, in some ways, fight your way out of places. You know, it was a hostile, you know, hostile settings, visitors not welcome, if you will. So, yeah, that looked eerily dangerous. And there were some times that I can recall where you were concerned for the safety of, you know, of the players and the kids. So that's why it's good that we're talking about this, because security has to be put in place before you have an incident like, if you will, the old, you know, basketball gone bad, the Ron Artest, Jermaine O'Neal incident, you know, the malice and the palace.
Correct. I mean, oh,
that,
yeah. Wow.
That's at its worst. And we can't afford that in college basketball with college students. So we got to get our game right. We got to protect it.
Hey, the contributor of Slam Magazine, Lee Klein, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Chime in on the conversation. We would absolutely love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. You can always go back and listen to this interview at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. And all of our amazing hosts here at the network. Lee, reach out to all the audience. Tell them where they can check you out online as well.
Always could connect with me on Twitter at Lee Allen Klein, LeighAlanKlein. And, of course, you know, do follow Slam Online for the latest in college basketball and the NBA draft. I do the NBA draft index, which we have a new one coming up. Should be a lot of fun. Always creates a little controversy.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk now about some of the bubble teams that we're keeping a watch on. They still have some time to make an impression before Selection Sunday. Who are some of the teams on the outside looking to get in?
Well, the Atlantic 10 is a really interesting conference now with four teams, you know, right there at the top, tied. And how many teams could this conference get in? So Davidson with a signature win at Rhode Island, not good enough to get them in the tournament, but maybe good enough to keep Rhode Island out. So both of those teams in need of having a resume-building victory and have to end well. VCU and Dayton in the best position, but who knows if the Rams, or what about the job Bob McKelp's doing with Davidson, won't get on a hot streak here to end the regular season Atlantic 10 and propel themselves into position to take, you know, an at-large bid.
Lee Klein joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And there's a number of still important games that are coming up. Which ones will you be keeping a watch on?
Well, to me, a great game this weekend is in the Pac-12. We have Arizona playing at Utah. And to me, while I still think Arizona is the best team in the Pac-12, for Utah, this is a program-changing game, potentially. Relatively new to the Pac-12, here's an opportunity not just to show that Utah's for real this season, but to change the entire outlook of the program as far as being a powerhouse in the Pac-12, recruiting-wise, and for years to come. Where it's Arizona, UCLA, and Utah. Utah has that opportunity. It starts if you can protect home court and beat Arizona and continue this magical ride that they've had this season.
You know, many times over the past few weeks, we've talked so much about the Big 12 Conference and a couple of teams I definitely want us to hit on. But what is your view of the Pac-12 Conference and the number of teams potentially that could make the big dance?
Oh, it's a great question. I think that there's three teams for sure that will come from the Pac-12. The question is, can they get a fourth? So I think they're a definite third, and I think Stanford has an opportunity to be the fourth team in, but they've got to end well, and you got to get to the semis of the Pac-12 tournament.
Hey, Lee Klein, with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. So, okay, let's move on over. Let's talk about the Big 12. Obviously, locked and loaded will be KU, Iowa State, Baylor. What are your thoughts on West Virginia?
Coach Huggins has done an incredible job this year. You know, he was, you know, the difference from the program was in disarray 2 years ago, and he just revamped it with his type of player. I mean, there's not, if you will, great stars on this team. This is the sum of the parts, and style of play. This is when you get guys to buy into the program, to the style of play, and what that can do for you. And that's what he's been able to do. It's almost like the junkyard dogs. I mean, they just get after you. And
yeah.
Every night, it's a different guy that that gets hot and scores. And, you know, Juwan Staten's probably, if you will, their most talented a player. But it's every night there's somebody that steps up. And he's really done a great job in giving them an identity this year and getting them going. And probably deserves Big 12 Coach of the Year.
Okay. Talking about Bobby Huggins and West Virginia, give us a hit on Texas. What do they need to show the committee? Because this is a team that's just, gosh, what a season they've had. It's been up and down.
I think they better finish strong here for a couple of factors. One, for Rick Barnes, I think it's critical. I mean, the good thing for Texas is they played a lot of good teams, and they played them close. The bad thing is, haven't won enough, and they have an opportunity. You know, they play Kansas this weekend. Here you go. And then you got two winnable home games. So win two of those three, make it to the Big 12 semis, you'll be in great shape. If you don't, if you win less than two of three, I think they're on the outside and in serious trouble. And I think Rick Barnes, now year two of the Steve Patterson era, that's ADs are paid to make decisions regarding coaches, and he's got a football coach now there that he's comfortable with. He made that hire. Usually, if things aren't right on the basketball end, that decision happens shortly thereafter.
Okay, Kansas State, are they still alive after that upset against KU on Monday night? I mean, how will the committee view them?
They got a ways to go, but they literally have to win out, in my opinion, or get to finish the regular season, beating Iowa State, winning their final game, and then making it to the Big 12 championship. They have that much work to do in order to secure a bid. But this sort of saves your season and gives you that jolt to propel you to a future. And they've got young ones there that, Kansas State, that we've recently seen play up. So maybe there is a good future coming soon in Manhattan.
Okay, we've been talking some college basketball, going one-on-one with Lily Klein, the contributor with Slam Magazine. I'm really anxious to catch up with him next week because we are going to talk about who, at this point, is the top NBA prospect in the country right now and whose stock is up. So we'll get into that conversation next week, and we always appreciate it. You stay warm, and we'll talk to you here real soon. Thank you, Lee.
My pleasure, Lisa.
Okay, much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. You stay close and join us at Twitter @eRadioSports. We will be right back.